Okay. Entertain a motion to come back out of recess into public session for the purpose of public hearing.
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Cole, second, Mr. Wilson. Any questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
Yes, motion carried. Mr. Sharp.
Thank you, Mr. President. When council holds public hearings on zoning applications, they are legislative hearings because council uses the information obtained during the hearings to decide whether to adopt an ordinance or to amend the comprehensive zoning map in the manner requested by the applicant. Sussex County, in its zoning and land use decisions, does not discriminate against persons based on race, color, religion, national origin, disability, familial status, sex, creed, marital status, age, or sexual orientation. Public comments made on the basis of bias and stereotypes concerning people within these protected classes will not be taken into consideration by the county in its deliberations. Each application will be announced. The director will review the council with the council the minutes and testimony from the planning and zoning hearing, and those minutes will be made part of the record along with any exhibits introduced at the planning and zoning hearing and any recommendation made by the commission. The applicant will be called on to present and explain their request and present reasons supporting their application. Council may question the applicant and their witnesses. After the applicant has presented their application, council will provide an opportunity for anyone else who favors the application to speak. After that, any persons who oppose or question the application will be allowed to state the reasons for their opposition or questions. After that, there will be no rebuttal by the applicant and the hearing will be closed, unless council decides to leave the record open for a specific purpose and time period. Further, the applicant will not be allowed to ask questions of persons who speak in opposition, and persons who speak in opposition will not be allowed to question the applicant or their witnesses. If you intend to speak, you are required to come to the front and stand at the speaker's stand and state your name and home address before you make a statement. Please sign the sheet at the speaker's stand as well. If you represent or speak for a group or organization, please identify who you represent. When you make your statement, please be concise. Do not repeat yourself. If you have a written statement, hand it to me and it will be made part of the record. If there is more than one witness for the applicant or more than one person in opposition, please do not repeat points that a prior speaker has already stated. All persons in attendance should conduct themselves in an orderly fashion. No applause or other disruptive behavior is permitted. If you have a cell phone, pager, or beeper or other telephonic device with you, we request that you turn it off or switch it to silent service. At the conclusion of each application, council may either approve it, deny it, or defer it to the later date. If the Planning and Zoning Commission deferred action, council will do likewise. Any questions from council, Mr. President?
Nope.
Blank.
This is a public hearing for conditional use number 1991. The application of Cool Spring LLC, Highway 1, an application to consider the conditional use of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district for a facility for outdoor entertainment events with temporary camping facilities during events only, to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Indian River 100, Sussex County, on a parcel containing approximately 500 acres, more or less, of two parcels containing 1,057.6 acres. Land lying north of Road 302A, Avalon Road, west of Road 48, Hollyville Road, south of Road 47, Johnson Road, and east of Road 296, Lawson Road, with a 911 address of 23430 Hollyville Road, Harbison, Delaware, with a tax map ID of District 234, Map 15, Parcel 22, and 234, Map 9, Parcel 34, and being a part of. The Planning and Zoning Commission held public hearing on this application on July 10th of 2014. During that public hearing process, we had received some information from the applicant that was presented into the record. The council does have a copy of this report before them. The applicant provided a letter referencing two different versions of the plan for the site. They were labeled A and B, and they were inclined to use Plan A in their presentation. Plan A is a rendering showing areas of the property intended for a stage, the main arena, camping areas, parking areas, intended driveway locations, and intended entrance locations. We had received comments from DLDOT on April 24, 2014 in the form of a support facilities report and referencing that a traffic impact study was not recommended. We heard comments from the County Engineering Department. They were received on July 7, 2014, and making reference that the site is not located in a proposed or current county-operated and maintained sanitary sewer district. In the process of the scheduling for the public hearing, we received 5 letters, emails in support of the application. We received 51 letters and emails and 462 signatures on petitions in opposition to the application. The commission was provided copies of all those letters and petitions. For the benefit of the council, we've already provided the comments of those same letters and petitions in opposition. I've already placed them before council, and I passed down copies of the 5 letters that we received in support. Alex Pyrus was present with Steve Spence Esquire on behalf of their application and gave testimony. Mark Cotte was present on behalf of DelDOT and made some statements in reference to support facilities reports. There were 7 parties that spoke in support of the application. There were 116 people present in support by just requesting for a raising of hands to see who was in support. The commission took a recess for 5 minutes and came back and reopened a public record. At that time, we asked for opposition. There were 16 parties that spoke in opposition, and of those 16 that spoke, there were 79 people present in opposition, again, by raising of hands for a purpose of a count. There was a consensus of the commission and discussion at the conclusion of the public hearing that it was the applicant's duty to present a record in compliance with the zoning ordinance and the comprehensive land use plan. That members of the commission had noted that they were making a land use decision, that while a good business plan may have been submitted, they questioned whether sufficient land use and information required by the zoning code was supplied, and that more information should be presented in the next hearing of the on the application, which would be today for county council. At the conclusion of that discussion, there was a motion, a second, and carried unanimously to defer action for further consideration. In addition to those comments read into the record previously, we received 2 additional letters up to today in support of the application. We received 58 letters, again, in opposition to the application, and there was an additional petition containing 90 signatures in opposition to the application. And that's all I have unless you have questions. In front of you also is a set of drawings just submitted just before the public hearing by the applicant showing the concept of the site plan and additional attachments, which I haven't myself had a chance to review.
Mm-hmm. All right.
That's all I have.
Any questions, Mr. Lank?
Sure.
Any questions from council? I guess at this point, Mr. Spence, you're here on behalf of the applicant.
Good afternoon. My name is Stephen Spence. I'm an attorney at the firm of Phillips Goldman Spence PA. I have for many years represented the Highway 1 Limited Partnership and its various financial interests and legal matters. Just as a starting point, before I start, the list of those who wish to speak is up here. Did you need that submitted or did it stay on the podium? In addition to that, at the public hearing before planning and zoning, we submitted and we handed out to the audience present at the time of the hearing proposed conditions for should this application be granted, and 2 what I would call Google Earth presentations from satellite as to the size of the site and where things would be shown. And I have color versions of that that I'd like to, along with the proposed conditions, to submit to the council at this time. And I'll give a brief description of the plan that's been submitted, and then I'm going to turn over the podium to Mr. Pyres for his presentation about the proposed project, and then Mr. Baker, I think, will have a few words to say as the owner and landlord for the property, and then I may close with a few minor comments, and anywhere in the meantime, questions will be obviously responded to as requested. So I'll hand these up. It's the same set of documents. The conditions that we proposed haven't been added to or subtracted from. We thought it would be helpful to have the color pictures. One general comment as a legal matter as to the comprehensive plan. When we reviewed the updated version of the comprehensive plan, our view was that this conditional use is consistent with and is promoting two particular goals of the comprehensive plan, which are tourism and conserving agricultural economy. And the reason why I say that is because we believe that this event would be good for the county, both in terms of an economic result and the enjoyment that many citizens of Sussex County and other areas would enjoy by coming to this type of event. But it would also be a very limited use of this property over a, depending upon how you evaluate how long it would take to set up and take down these events, pick a date, 6 weeks, 4 weeks, however long you envision the time it would take to set up, perform, and take down. The remainder of the year, this will be sitting, this property will still be in its normal agricultural use that it's been in for, I'll call it generations. And so we think it actually is a positive for both aspects of the plan in that area. We'd like to think that it will encourage further tourism, both in terms of the surrounding area, people coming to the show and staying in the area, as well as obviously the campers who would be on the site in this temporary arrangement. So at this point, I'd like to turn it over to Mr. Pyres to make a presentation about the application. One comment, the plan that was submitted, because of scaling requirements, gives you a demonstration of the sheer size of this property. The top sheet page, of course, shows the entire property, but the remaining pages that you have in your planners, because of the scaling requirements for a preliminary site plan, it takes 11 pages. That's how large this tract of land is, and we hope you keep that in mind in terms of just the fact that we think that this this event system that we would like to set up will, the site is large enough to handle it by far. Thank you.
Thank you. My name is Alex Pyres. I'm a resident of Dewey Beach, Delaware, and speaking on behalf of the applicant. I have 6 points, and I'll try to go through them carefully. One is, we've done a lot of research on the music festival business. The music business itself is an enormous industry in the United States, and it starts at the very lower levels of clubs, and then it goes to the larger clubs, and it goes to the sheds, and then it goes to the small amphitheaters that hold 5,000. And the next level is the larger amphitheaters in the country, of which is about 50, which have 25,000. And then there are festivals. And the festivals are of two types. Day festivals that are mostly in the major cities, and camping festivals that are in rural America. There are 31 country rural festivals in the United States. That's what we are trying to do. I've spent a little short of 2 years in Sussex County looking at sites with many of the farmers who you would all know. We finally came to an agreement with the Baker family. They have what I believe is the largest contiguous farm in Delaware. They have enough land that we could use, we believe, in the first 2 years, about 250 to 300 acres of the 500 acres we've leased. Long term, we would like, you know, if we're successful enough, we might get to 500 acres. Number two, when I first came to see the officials here at the county, I was told I could have just filled out a form over the counter, gotten a 3-day permit, like that's what's been done here for decades, and could have done my event without any of the fanfare. But I was asked to go through this process. And since I live here and I've been here a long time, I've been a property owner for 40 years, I agreed to that, and that's how we came about applying. Number two, these country festival events are camping events. There are very, very, very few people who come to the for the day and leave. And when I explain to you the traffic counts, you're going to be stunned at how little traffic there is. And the reason is people come usually the day before and the night before. They stay there 3 days and they leave. We have enough land to literally camp everybody. The old rule was 70 RVs an acre. You can do 60 RVs an acre. We've used even the lowest figure, 50 RVs an acre, which gives plenty of land use for trucks to get in and out to take the trash, the gray water, emergency vehicles, and all that. All the sites, campsites that would be used are all going to be state approved. They would be fire marshal approved, DLDOT approved. They would all be large enough so that everybody who was living there for the 3 days had access to all the facilities of life. We are not interested in the person who comes, parks, stays for the day, and leaves. So we're limiting the number of cars that can come in to 2,000, but there won't be that many. This weekend, I traveled to rural Michigan to the very type of event that I would like to do here. About an hour and a half outside of Detroit, it's a town called Brooklyn. It looks kind of like Delaware, all one-lane roads. And that's where Faster Horses does their three-day event. I arrived 1 o'clock in the afternoon of the first day, and I was the only car. There was virtually no traffic at all. Everybody comes in an RV the night before and the morning of. They camped their entire festival. They had less than 1,000 cars who were day trippers. It's all campers. It's all families coming for a three-day event. I stayed for 1 day. When I left, I was the only car leaving. They had approximately 6,000 vehicles in and 6,000 vehicles out, which, of course, is less than 1 day's traffic in Route 9 here. I mean, this is not a traffic problem. It's very low impact. We want to have our goal, our dream is to have 20,000 attendees. You can look at that a number of ways. 5,000 RVs with four people in them, 6,000 RVs with three people in them. It's not a lot of people. When I was at the event, the people who own that event are people who want to partner with us here. I took videos and put them online of what 20,000 people looks like, and it's less than our University of Delaware football games. It's less than one-third of what Pumpkin Chunkin is. It's not a lot of people. And at any given time, a lot of them don't come to any particular show. They're staying in their campers. They pick who they want. Tim McGraw happened to be playing that night, and maximum they had 18, 19,000 people for Tim McGraw. It's mostly campers. It's family-based. There's low traffic impact. Once in, once out. On Friday, they had 800 cars who came in and left for the day. 800 cars. To give you an idea of how few that's the less number of trips than Independence has in a day. They have 150 lots and houses there. They have two cars. If you multiply two trips in and out, there is more traffic going in and out of Independence than will come in a day out of our festival. I'll say that again. They have 150 homes, two cars a home. The studies show people go in and out of their house twice a day. That is more cars coming in and out of where they live than we'll have at our festival. And the impact of their residential community is 32 times the size of the impact of this event, which will be two events back-to-back once a year. The property will be empty 11 months of year, and we'll have two events, 3 to 4 nights for each event. We also have in our application 3 charitable events. If you want them, we can have them. They're one-day events, 100% for charities. We've got a long list of charities who want to use it. If you all decided in your wisdom you didn't want the farm using from that, we will drop that out. That's not something that I'm doing for any commercial benefit. We have a lot of people who want big open spaces. The color run that I went to across the line in Maryland had 5,000 kids, and they raised a large amount of money for charity. You need open spaces for those things. We would donate the land for that with the help of the Bakers. But I'm not asking for that for a commercial purpose. So I'm asking for 8 nights a year out of 365. Third point, every facet of this industry is state and county regulated. Every part of it. Every site that you sleep on is controlled by the fire marshal. You have to go to the fire marshal. You have to fill out a form. You have to show the measurements. He has to come out. He has to certify that it is a certified camping site. The fire marshal has to look and make sure there's access and egress. DENREC takes a look. DLDOT has to approve all the interior roads and the exterior roads. There is nothing about this event that is not regulated. It is a very, very regulated industry. An event like this, there'll be between 300 and 400 security people of two types, professionals and volunteers who come mostly for charities to make money. These events are big charity fundraisers. One I just went to in Michigan, they had literally hundreds of charity volunteers who wear the shirt and help you park and tell you where to put your camper and so forth. They are the soft security ports. It's all charities, American Red Cross, autism, and so forth. In Delaware, between DLDOT, the fire marshal, the state police, the state health department, the Delaware Alcohol Beverage Control Commission, the Sussex County Public Safety Organization, there is nothing that isn't regulated. They regulate the entire event. So if I have two events, the 8 days and nights that it will occur are regulated. We have no control over any of that. It's all publicly regulated. Point number four, the Baker Farm is a little short of 1,100 acres. Looking at the big drawing, I have at least the Docker area, but I don't even need probably half of that. To give you an idea, Firefly this first year had 40,000 people. They had 150 acres. This past year, you know, it's multiplied. It's a different type of event. It's not a family camping event. This farm is twice the size of Firefly, and it's going to have 20,000 people if we're lucky. Now, the event I went to see last weekend, owned by Live Nation, which is the largest owner of venues in the world and the largest producer of music in the world, last year they had 18,000. This time they had 22,000. That's a lot of campers. To give you an example of size, this is 1,000 acres. The state fairgrounds is 190 acres of usable space. Number five, the festivals that I'm interested in are country festivals. And the second festival you would be doing, which is what I call a folk festival, 2 days, is to help pay the overhead. The trend in the United States is to have back-to-back festivals, one of them which is the moneymaker, one of them you use to help pay the freight. These are very, very expensive events. I expect to spend between $5 and $6 million to do this. I expect the impact upon this community to be somewhere between $10 and $12 million. We need literally hundreds and hundreds of people. The volunteers, mostly from charities, are paid. Those people who made the comment that they're not, that is not true. Just to give you an idea of how important it is to the community, they collected in the town of Brooklyn that I was just in, 74 boys collected all the cans over the 3-day period, turned the cans in, and their first check was $4,400 for their charity, and they're not done. The security guys, the water deliveries, and all that, it's mostly paid volunteers, except for the experts. If you want to do research about what it would look like, I would give you three places to look. One is Brooklyn, Michigan, a rural town, much like where we live. All primary roads, one lane passing. It's a little bigger than what will probably be, but they had 21,000, 22,000 people. Two, Fort Loramie, Ohio, spelled L-O-R-A-M-I-E, in the middle of nowhere in western Ohio. Been done by the same family for 30 years. They have about 28, 30,000 people, all campers. And Manhattan, Kansas, in the middle of the heartland, middle of nowhere. Same thing, 20,000 campers, three-day events. That should give you some examples. Number five, Highway 1, my company, and myself will be responsible for this. Whether I take on the partners, the two partners that want to join us, one is Live Nation, which is the world monster. They would like to have an ownership interest. I'm not sure whether we will or we won't. And the second one is Corin Capshaw, who manages most of the major talent in the United States. All the big stars are his clients, Faith Hill, Tim McGraw, Lady Antebellum, Kip Moore, Cassidy Pope, Darius Rucker, and so forth. He's been here. He's seen the site. I want to do the festival. I understand that there is a tendency for people who love music to say they all want to go, but they don't want to have it too close. I understand that. I respect that. I wanted to go over the conditions with you because we feel like we've come up with conditions that cover not only what we thought was reasonable, but we took all the notes from the hearing before planning and zoning and tried to make the conditions fit every objection. List number one, the number of events. We'd like to do five, but I would live with two if you want. If you don't want the charity events, I would like to use the facility for 8 nights out of 365 a year. In 2015, we would begin in August. We would do them back-to-back, either the first and second weekends or the second and third weekends. It's looking like the first and second weekends because they're already booking all the talent. America controls country music in the world. I know it may be hard for you to believe that in Germany and England, France, and the other 178 active countries, they think country music is the music, and it's American music, so they look to us for talent. So there's tremendous pressure. 2015 is being booked up. People are booking 2016, so I have to start booking literally now. I have a meeting tomorrow about it. It looks like the first two weekends. The second weekend will be what I call folk country music, which has a big resurgence in the United States, and it's campers again, but probably only 2 days for that event. There are no vehicle road races on this property, no dirt bike races, no monster truck events, no use of power vehicles whatsoever. I don't intend to use this for pumpkin chunking. I don't intend to use it for anything other than the two things I have told you. Number two, the hours of operation are exactly the same as all country festivals. The last artist usually goes on around 9:30, the headliner that everybody waits for. Sunday night, it was Miranda Lambert. Saturday night, it was Keith Urban. Friday night, it was Tim McGraw. They're over like around 11:15, 11:30. The lights start to go off, and by 12 o'clock, it's dark. That's how country music works. It's a family event. They don't want it later for the obvious reasons. There's moms and dads with kids. There's all the things you would expect in a family event. Half an hour after that, all the lights are off, and it is dark. The only lights are the emergency lights and the security lights that get you to your campers. That's how it works. Number three, the location of staging and the vendors and the camping and the medical tents, the bathroom and the shower facilities. That's all done by professionals. This particular drawing we gave you, they did 8 versions of it, the people who do this for a living. I don't have that kind of expertise. In the drawing we've given you, you'll note that there's a couple of different places to put the stages, a couple of different places to put the tents for vending and all that. I'm indifferent to all of that. It's up to the professionals. Where DelDOT wants it, where they want the access roads, where they want the medical facilities, I have no interest in it at all. We'll let the professionals do that and let Delaware approve it. the Delaware State Fire Marshal in the end runs these events. He decides for safety purposes where everything goes, and I'm happy with that. The second most powerful person is DelDOT, which we've already agreed that they can control all the roads in and out and how they want it done. Traffic, camping, and parking. We expect 5,000 campers to go in once and leave once. That's 10,000 trips. We expect maximum 2,000 cars. I think it'll be 1,000 cars to come in once a day times 3 days. That's 12,000 trips, 22,000 trips over the 3 to 4 day period. Just to give you an idea of the impact of travel, there are more, as many cars as that, just 1 day on Route 9. On Route 9 averages 18,000 trips a day. If you do the math for Independence, which is the group that is opposing this, they do 457,000 trips a year, or about 30 times the impact on the roads. The camping and motorhomes and RVs, travel trailers, the tents, those all have access through roads approved by DelDOT, and the facilities themselves have a series of standards they must go through. They're all inspected before they come in. I don't know if you've ever been to these. When you come in, your vehicle is inspected. They have all the things in security that you would imagine. They have the sniffing dogs for drugs. They have the sniffing dogs for contraband. They have the wands, and they basically go through the vehicle. That's how it's done. The day trippers, the people who come in, 800 to 900 cars, they park on the very edge of the facility, and they're allowed to take what they have on them and walk through. Those cars, if you look on our drawing, are in a very isolated part off of Avalon Road. And number five, the fencing location, temporary structures, the whole entire area will be fenced in. It'll be removed by the end of August. 11 months of the year, this farm will look exactly like it looks today. We have no other use for it. There are no temporary structures except fencing that would be within 100 feet of any adjacent property border. And no stage area would be within 100 feet of any public road. Number six, the safety and vehicle inspections. The Sussex County Public Safety Services special event administration procedures would be followed. If the expected attendance is above 25,000, which we would never reach the first year, we would pay for all of them. But we're never, no one's had that many first year. Even Live Nation's never had 25,000 the first year. It takes a number of years. At all events, the applicant shall employ a professional security company, which must submit a security plan to the Delaware State Police at least 30 days prior. It includes crisis management, radio support, state police communication, and anti-drug detail. C, the security company shall provide the point of access of all vehicles, staff to conduct inspections for drugs, alcohol exceeding the ticketed limits, weapons, or any other safe items. Number seven, the medical services shall be provided on site throughout any event, consistent with the county and state standards. Fire safety is controlled by the state fire marshal and our local volunteer fire departments. Food and beverage. All the purveyors must have a Delaware state business license. We have obviously a huge preference for Delaware and even bigger preference for Sussex County. For those of you who know me, I've owned businesses in Sussex County for 28 years, and I employ about 460 people part and full time, and I am the poster boy for hiring Sussex County residents for employment, but also I own Jimmy's Grill. If you look at the menu in Jimmy's Grill, most of those fruit and vegetables come from Delaware. I go out of my way to buy from Delaware, even at price differential, point differences, including chicken and so forth. We had some problems with Georgia. I prefer giving business to people who live in the community where I live. I've been told by my lawyer that I can't say that it'll all be Delaware, but it'll be Delaware. The food, beverage, and supply vendors will be on site to minimize the number of vehicle trips. We've studied what's done at the other events, and we can do that. Trash, water, bathroom. All refuse and trash will be removed from the site daily. The final cleanup will be completed within 2 days. There are companies who bid on this because of the trash, the cans and so forth, and we've got a plan for our charities to take the cans. All water distribution systems shall be temporary, and if any modifications are required, they must be approved by the county. Bathroom facilities shall be provided according to state standards. Those are the conditions. That's the final part of my presentation. I'm available for questions either now or after Mr. Baker, who has a part of the presentation. Mr. President, I can sit down and let him go, and then
sure.
I'll answer questions after, if that's okay with you.
It's fine.
This is Mr. Mark Baker, one of the owners of the property.
Hello. Yes, my name is Mark Baker. Living just outside of Lewis, Delaware. And as stated, this farm, this entire property is owned by my family. We've owned it for a little bit over 12 years now, and it is very important to my family. My brother and I actively farm this parcel. Since we acquired this property, we also purchased three other farms nearby that we also farm. And that is our primary objective on that property. We did not take the decision lightly to enter into this agreement with Cool Spring and Highway 1. It was only after very careful consideration and a lot of internal discussion that we decided to do it. As I submitted in a letter to Planning and Zoning, one of the main reasons is the limited use of the property. The lease caps us at 11 days, as they've discussed, and also offered to put in the conditions from the county. So 97% of the year, there will be no events occurring on the property. It'll remain in a natural state, open fields, what might be grass or crops, and the woodlands. My family actually, in the leases, retained the recreational use of the property outside of the event windows. So we continue to plan to use it recreationally, to hunt, for the horses in my family, et cetera. We have very high standards for how the property is maintained now, both on the agricultural side and on the barns and the facilities and horse facilities we have there. I think if you ride by the property, you would agree that we make a strong effort to keep it looking very nice in the community, and we're proud of that, and that will not change. And, you know, we pass those high standards on to our tenant, and that's how we expect the property to be, and I don't think there's going to be a problem. We have the same mutual interest in that regard. So I wanted to say that, but I wanted to also address a couple of things on the concerns. I understand some of the initial traffic concerns from those who live near the property, but I don't think the impact will be as great as they fear. Alex already went through quite a bit of that data, so I'm not going to recap too much of it, but just on a personal example, I did attend Firefly this year. I went as a day tripper on Saturday and Sunday to the event. We arrived in the afternoon just before some of the major acts would be coming on stage. And I know the roads are completely different in Dover, I understand that, but my point is not that there was little traffic, it's that there was basically no traffic. Between 2 o'clock one day and 3 o'clock the other day, I drove up to the main entrance at Dover Downs Casinos, where they had the free parking for the day trippers, so that's where I drove up. We were the only car making the right-hand turn off of Route 13. We turned in and just casually made our way around the parking lot to find a spot. I am in Dover a lot. We have business in Dover. And the traffic on Route 13 on Saturday and Sunday was no different than any other day. So again, that's just an anecdotal story from me, but that's what I expect out here. We have a tremendous amount of room on this property, obviously, to stack vehicles on the internal side. I'm sure working with DelDOT, that'll be something they want the applicant to do. And that can really limit what happens on the external roads. So I just don't think that it'll be as big of a concern as people fear. And I would even suggest that long-term, if it is, the event just won't work. You're not going to have an event of this type where it's a nightmare for people to get to and get out of. If so, they won't come back, and it'll quickly fail. Some of the other issues that were raised in the previous public hearing and in letters of opposition, I wanted to address as the property owner, because they seem to directly discuss the farm itself. And I think most of them result from a lack of understanding, or they're really not relevant, or they're an intentional effort to find reasons to oppose the application. It wasn't so long ago that many surrounding communities were farm fields, complete with trees, shade plots throughout the field. I'm sure the applications for those developments were met with the same type of comments as this one. But I think we can see that, you know, here we are and still enjoying an extremely high quality of life in Sussex County. One thing that's been mentioned is the impact on the woods and the trees, tree removal. And I think everyone has to understand that with or without this application approval, it's likely that a very large percentage of those pine trees are going to be cut down in the next year or two. They're an active pine forest, and in Sussex County, those are often thinned or clear-cut to enable the further growth of the pines or to clear-cut and replant and start over again. We're working with a well-known area forester. It's actually probably possible that more trees will be left standing on the festival ground if it occurs. Over 50 acres of this leased area were clear-cut just back in 2001, 2002. Much more of that was thinned in 2007 and in the late 90s. So there will be active logging, active tree cutting, and that will continue on this farm regardless of whether or not this application occurs. In fact, if the applicant wanted to clear ground and cut trees down to use as cleared property, it'd be a lot cheaper for them to use the fields that they're already leasing rather than go in and clear cut the woods. So I think fears of damage to the woods are greatly exaggerated. The water usage, water runoff, that type of stuff. This field in this area is 300 irrigated acres with our pivot systems that we have there. If you take a look at a corn crop during a typical season around here, if it's a relatively dry summer, we could easily put 10 inches of water on that corn in a summer growing season. That's over 81 million gallons of water pumped through the irrigation for that field, for the shaded area there. I sincerely doubt that these festivals will not use anywhere near that quantity of water on this farm. It would be almost impossible. So the risks to the groundwater, to being removed or levels lowered, are slim to none. There will be little or no change in any runoffs or floodings because this is all a impervious surface. I mean, yeah, there's some gravel roads, but off the gravel road, we have hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of acres that are still there to absorb any water that runs off a 20 or 30 foot wide road. So those issues are just not relevant. It's been brought up that there are some cemeteries on the property, and that is correct. There are actually two within the leased area and one that's outside of the leased area. We currently farm around them. The only time we enter these cemeteries are somewhere around a tenth to two-tenths of an acre in size. And we farm around them. The only time we ever enter them is to cut trees so that the irrigation systems can pass over them. There's no other disturbances. I can not say that for anything that happened before we owned the property, but I know for a fact that in the last 12 years, we have not caused any disturbances to those cemeteries. We respect them very greatly. And I'm sure they could easily be fenced off during the events, and I'm sure the applicant wouldn't oppose if that was an additional condition, because that would certainly be my intention to see them do that. Some things have come up about the wildlife. There are no bald eagle nests on the entire farm. They do show up from time to time, usually when there's a dead animal in a field, as they do throughout the county. If you watch them, there's a reason sometimes I call them buzzards with a tuxedo. So the impact on the wildlife in the woods will not be there. They leave, they come back. The turkeys are transient. There's deer. They'll be out when there's a logging operation, and 2 weeks later they're back in and loving their new habitat. So we have to keep this in perspective. I mean, you're talking the possible disturbance of a couple weekends on around maybe half of the non-tillable ground on this property. So that is minimal disturbance, and I don't think has any real substantial impact. So, you know, to wrap this up, I think I also heard a comment that it won't, who's going to benefit besides the applicant? Well, and the landowner. Well, there's going to be a benefit to many local businesses. I mean, I see that in Dover. We have a business in Dover, and the impact on Firefly is substantial to us. It's very helpful. And we are in no way tied to or associated or have anything to do with that event. So we just happen to have a convenience store in Dover. You can just imagine our popular local restaurants, breweries, ice cream shops, et cetera, all getting a chance to increase sales and promote their brands to new customers at an event like this in Sussex County. We're a resort area, and people will come for the festival, but they'll extend their vacations to other parts of the county. That's, again, more hotel, restaurant, and retail business. We would not have done this, my family would not have done this, we wouldn't have signed this lease if we didn't think this was a positive for Sussex County, and I truly do. And this is not a typical application, obviously, that comes before county council. I don't know that you've had one like this before. So it certainly won't come without, you know, questions, comments, or opposition. That's to be expected. It's going to take some vision and some leadership on the part of county council to approve something like this. Events like this don't just happen on their own. It takes a tremendous amount of work and a very large investment. And I think this application and this festival and this plan deserves a chance in Sussex County, and I'm asking that you, the county, Sussex County Council, show that vision and leadership and approve this application. And I'll be happy to answer any questions about the farm that you may have. As you know, I'm not the applicant, but we are the landowner, so I felt it was important to get that on the record. Be happy to answer any questions.
Any questions, Council?
How do you envision the off times? What'll be on the farm? You got some gravel roads left. What else would be left permanently? As far as the farm's concerned, and how usable would the farm be?
I mean, I think from their standpoint, they mentioned there's no permanent structures of any kind, so obviously the gravel roads will be there.
Just gravel roads.
Right, and so then the fields will be very much, it may be kept in grass, we'll utilize them for crops where possible. It's just that's going to be a bit of a dynamic process, but it will continue to be a very open field-like environment. With, mm-hmm. Again, if there's no permanent structures, which I think is in the agreement, then that's what it'll be.
Mark, if it rains and you get all these people in these fields, what kind of soils? Are the soils suitable for parking all this kind of stuff?
Soils are pretty sandy. There's scattered water holes, you know, across it. I mean, we've discussed that when they were looking at the farm. Say, okay, over there is a wet spot that you'll not want to set up a RV parking lot in. But again, it's such a large parcel that I could easily sit here and pick out 5 or 10 acres of scattered areas that I would say you don't want to be in a rain. Mm-hmm. But that's such a minimal part, and obviously they would want our input on laying anything out, and we can steer them clear of any potential issues. Again, a dry year. I mean, even this year right now, there's little to no. We've had a couple heavy rains in the last few weeks. There's little to no standing water, especially if you consider it as a percentage of the open ground on the farm.
Anything else from council? Any questions?
Well, I guess this might be for the architect or the designer, but I'm wondering, I see the homes all around certain areas, and there's some areas that look like not heavily populated. That I was wondering what kind of setbacks there will be from homes. Of course, that's not for you. I'm sorry. I'll wait.
I can come back up if something else.
But your land, I didn't know if there was any other way to do this. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? To get away from the homes, away from the.
I think those questions will be best.
Evidently not, huh?
Addressed at the applicant.
Right.
So, but I can sit down if you need me to come back up for a follow up.
Okay.
I'd be happy to.
Anything else? Question, Mr. Baker? Question, Mr. Pyres.
Yeah, I'll ask Mr. Pyres a question. You've got on this one the voluntary conditions. You said 5 events in a 12-month period. Did you specify like what time of year, what months, by any chance, in any of this? I didn't. I don't.
Yes,
remember
sir.
Here.
The
did I miss that?
Two of the events, sir. The two main events are both in August.
Okay.
And the other 3 events are for charities to pick a time, a month. We would just make it available and say that we'll have a contest, so to speak. And
but basically, you're looking at August.
August would be our events. Charity events would be any time that fit them.
Being you're so in tune with the business cycle of the beach area. I've always stated we really don't need, you know, too many events to bring and attract people to the beach area in the summertime, because we've already got, you know, I don't know, quite a few people in August, which is probably the prime month. Where most of the small business people are concerned about is the off season. You know, they've always emphasized, you know, bring people in the fall and the spring or something like that, because that's when the small businesses would like to expand, you know, and stuff. Is there any thought that if June, July, and August weren't maybe an appropriate off, I mean, could you see this happening in the off season or the shoulder season, as we say?
The country music business is a June, July, and August touring business. Mm-hmm. They want the younger children, and they want the families, and they know you can't get the mom if the kids are in school, and you can't get the dad without the mom, and you can't get the...
I understand. Okay.
But there's another point you brought up, which is very important. I've been running in Dewey, the Rusty Rudder Bottle and Cork and North Beach and so forth for almost 30 years. What we have seen is a vast change in the number of days that people stay. They don't stay as long, and our weekdays are weaker because we are competing with so many other choices. One of the ideas we have with this is we give you a reason to stay, bring your RV, stay a little bit, and then hopefully if you come this far, there's a pretty decent percentage of people in the country business who are from out of state. The study we did shows that the competition for Delaware is Southern Pennsylvania. That's the entire area between Pittsburgh and Philly and below. We're competing with that, all of Western New Jersey, all of Maryland. Maryland is competing with us for this. Northern Virginia, they have divided the country up. The industry has divided the country up, and they believe long-term there are going to be 70 festivals in the United States that control American music, and under that, the 50 large amphitheaters and so forth, the chain I showed you. It makes no sense to me why Delaware should not compete. We have beautiful, beautiful facilities here, and we have the ocean. So our pitch is going to be, yes, there are other, you can go upstate New York, that's one of the closest, you can go to Western Ohio, but there's going to be one in our market. And you've heard me say this before, why should I give it to Pennsylvania? Why should we give it to Maryland? Why shouldn't we do it? And I'm going to do it. It's going to happen. I'm going to do it here, and I'm going to create jobs, just as I've done with my other businesses. I would love to do it here. I can do a great job. I can do it in 8 days, I can pay my bills, and I can make it happen. You can put all the restrictions you think are necessary through DelDOT, through the state fire marshal, all the things you want to protect yourself. But 11 months of the year, that farm will be empty.
Would these be weekend events or weekday events? Now you did allude to...
They usually come on Wednesday, set up their RVs on Thursday. Everybody sets up. Now you got them in the weekday. That's what I'm getting at. You got them coming. And they usually go home on Monday. So you've got dad and mom committing to staying a little longer. One of our problems in Dewey and in Rehoboth, I have businesses in both places, are people coming down for three-day weekends. That's our problem. Ask anybody who competes with me. That's our problem. We're trying to get people to stay longer. We're trying to come up with things. I do 11 road races. Why do I do it? Because I want the runners down here. You know, I did my own fireworks. I had to pay for my own fireworks to compete, to give people a reason to come down and bring the family. You know, we're doing everything we can to create and support jobs. This is a job producer. The fencing alone will take Delaware, two or three companies, it'll take them forever to fence that. Why should we not bring that business here? I believe if you want to help your country locally. You don't have to go abroad. You don't have to go anywhere else. I know this sounds like a speech. You want to help your country? Help your neighbors. Create jobs locally. I started my own bank here. We have 31 jobs that weren't there before. I don't need, with all due respect, a bank in upstate Buffalo taking over Delaware businesses and deciding they're bringing people from out of the state. We can create our own jobs here. So I believe we can push into Wednesday, get them all there Thursday, Friday and Saturday and Sunday. They spend their money. Tell them to take their time. One of the reasons DelDOT did so well, and they can attest to this, they told everybody this year at Firefly, go home on a Monday if you want. Come in on a Wednesday. Get people to make a 4, 5, or 6 day commitment to Delaware. That's what we want. And every store, we saw a huge impact from Firefly, and we're 30-something miles away. All the hotels in Dewey and Rehoboth were packed. All of my restaurants were packed. The gas stations. I think it's good that we do things that create an interest in our state for Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday. Anybody can succeed on a Saturday. That's easy. It's the weekdays that we need to do creative things to get our fair share. And I hope I answered that.
Yeah, well, it is. I mean, it was my observation yesterday. I left the eye doctor there on 24 about 4 o'clock. And it was easy to drive back. I was going to Ocean View. But what I noticed, which I don't know if the rest of the council, because they maybe don't live down there like I do. But
I live right there.
But I saw bumper to bumper leaving, you know, coming from Dewey all the way past 24. And that's on a Monday at 4 o'clock. And so my concern is, and is we've got so many people here already to put a festival in August would even bring, again, additional traffic. And as a small business, even if you're not making money now in the beach area, something's wrong, because we've got 5 million, 7 million people coming for 3 months. And either they don't have the right product or they got wrong location or something. But, I mean, it's not as if we need events. And this is my concern. We need events to bring large number of people, additional people, for 3 or 4 days.
You can't get families, sir, unless you go after them in the summer because of school.
I understand. But weekends in the off season could be. Must be important, farmer. In the off season, there are holiday weekends and stuff. And again, I know that the film festival, some of these other events are shoulder seasons and been very successful also. But my just concern is bringing more activities in an area that's already, you know, pretty congested.
I would say two things, Mr. Cole. One is, the last week in August, our businesses, all of our businesses in Rehoboth and Dewey drop off 50%. Right. School's open, mom's gone. Which,
yeah.
And once mom's gone, all of my businesses start receding. September, school's open, drops another 25%. By the time you get to October, I start closing all my businesses. They're all closed, you know, with exception of one by October. On the other side of the coin, you can't get people to come in April, usually, because moms and the families are in school. And you can get them a little bit on weekends in May. But once the schools start letting out, they come to Delaware.
Listen, I have a question.
Mr. Deamer.
As far as having the two events, that's to me, that's one issue. But the shared events, why have them? You could just donate from the two of them.
I can do that.
Absolutely. A lot less use of the property.
I have absolutely no problem with that. That's perfectly acceptable.
And another thing I thought I had about competition, you're talking about competition from other areas, you want us to do this here. You know, it reminds me of the casinos, and there's a lot of competition there, but at least the state does get quite a bit of revenue.
Casinos, though, Ms. Deaver, they're not family events.
Right, but I'm looking at the, you know, the revenue, I'm looking at the costs. For the county.
Yeah. I agree with you.
One question, Mr. Phillips.
It's a question maybe for the administration or our attorney. With respect to Mrs. Deaver's concern about cost for the county, this is an event that we will bill for our paramedic services and public safety services.
That's correct.
Okay. I guess I'm a little concerned about us getting away from land use, which is why we're here, versus, you know, a business plan or whether you can or can't do something at the time of year that you want to do it. It seems like it's rare that we can find a piece of property as large as this to put an event like this on, and I would compliment you for seeking out this particular property owner. Is there any concern of the location on the property with 1,000 acres? Yeah, there there was the question whether or not you had it too close to homes. Mm-hmm. What went into your decision-making process to park it over on the left side of the property?
You can see it better on your color mm-hmm. map because it shows the woods. The logic is that if you look on the they put the stage in the area that has woods on two sides. And the other second stage, and I'll show you here, this is all wooded, and they put one stage there, and the smaller stage would be on the other side of the woods with the longest distance to where anyone lived. But as I said before, Mr. Phillips, they can put it anywhere that people thought it should be. It's not my expertise.
So you're saying that when this goes to planning and zoning for site plan review,
they may change
you will
it.
Be flexible toward their okay.
Yeah,
I wanted to follow up. I wasn't sure on your question if you're referring to where on the 1,000-acre piece. Mm-hmm. And for Alex to answer that, some of that is that was what we gave them as an option. from our point of view, we have our farming operation, our facilities and stuff, our grain tanks, our grain dryers, all that is okay. located in a different area, mm-hmm. and we didn't feel that that would really work. So it wasn't of a faction of this side or that side. It was, well, we are going to be operating heavily in these areas at different times, and we didn't. So we guided it in that direction. And just what kind of made sense with some ditches and layouts and things like that.
And I guess the point was made that Firefly is on 150 acres. It appears that your entity has secured, what, about 400 acres?
It's 500 if we use it all. Now, Firefly has expanded twice. I've been throughout the facility on foot and on vehicle. They've picked up two additional farms. But in fairness, that is a totally different type of event. That is a what I would call a rock and pop. They depend heavily on day trippers. They had some 30,000 people who came just for the day each day. It's a different type of event, a different type of facility, and I'm not interested in that. Believe me, if we had 25,000 people in our second and our third year here, and they're all campers, and we were paying our bills, and Delaware developed a reputation as a country music venue, I would be very, very happy. I'm not looking for some gigantic number of people. I think it's too hard for RVs. You need a smaller number of people camping, family camping, and you need the fire marshal to approve each one. I will give you an example. If you know any of the people who have the camping at Harrington, you end up with maps, and they look about this size, and every camping site is approved by the fire marshal. It has a code number on it, and its measurements are there, and he approves it, and then he approves the access roads. This is the road for emergency services. This is the road for trash pickup, and he caps how many you can put in. That's what we would go through. We would turn in individual subparts of the map. Then we would turn to DelDOT and say, we need three entrances. How wide do they need to be? How deep do they need to be? And so forth. And we've met with them, and they've been to the puppet show. They know how to do this. So that's how it would work.
And finally, how would you feel if we revisited this after, say, 3 years?
It's fine.
Okay.
I'm perfectly happy with anything that's reasonable that you come up with.
That's all. Thank you.
More questions of council?
I don't know if Mr. Spence has anything. I think he had indicated he wanted to follow up.
Just a closing comment or two, which was we clearly sensed that the prior planning zoning hearing that the use of this example wasn't sufficient in the eyes of some of the members of that body. And so we went out and we hired the same engineers we've been talking to about how to design the site for fire marshal and roadways and such and said, now you need to produce a plan. and that's what you have. Mm-hmm. But we're still of the view that it needs some refinement once those agencies get a chance to see first. You know, it's kind of a, I know I don't like saying it this way, but it's sort of a cart and the horse problem. If we're not given approval, then we'll never go through the fire marshal staging process and site development for camping because we won't have authority. If we obtain authority, then for purposes of final site plan, we will have to do that, and that's what we were suggesting that we would do. So the plan, and because of sizing, that was the interesting thing. It took 11 pages to size this site. Gives you a sense of how immense it is and how I think those who have the opportunity to come to this festival, if it's granted and approved, will really enjoy the site because they won't be on top of each other. But having said that, that's the genesis of why we were a little late with this part of the process, because we weren't really sure, with no permanent buildings, no permanent structures, oops, no sewer, no water, other than gravel roads, we weren't really sure what would be required in a site plan. But anyway, that's what we're doing.
Have you taken every consideration, every way you could possibly, say, shelter the people living there? I see some of them live right close to what's going to be a very busy area, if I understand this correctly. Is there an excessive setback of some kind that you could put in with all this property? I'm just wondering, you know, if you could do that to protect some of the homeowners living with it. You know, that's going to be quite an interesting place to live.
I'll let Mr. Pyrus feel that.
I think that's a good idea, and if we suggested 100, if you wanted 200 or 300, whatever it is, that's fine. I have no objection to that. I will mention one thing, only because I saw it. This road, Lawson Road, which has, you know, maybe 10 houses on it, but mm-hmm. those people face it.
Yes.
That is the access road for the artists, the singers, the production, and all that. That would be restricted to people who live there, which would have their own passes, and the producers. That's not going to be, during the event, used for any other reason. You can't go up that way and get into the event. The police would be there with passes.
So unless there's any other questions for me, I think that closed our presentation.
Any questions, Council? Sharp?
Thank you, Mr. President. At this time, is there anyone here in favor of the application that would like to speak before Council?